Yeah, so electromagnetic spectrum operations, or EMSO, is kind of all aspects of spectrum management and use of spectrum in warfare or for just operations.
I'm Joe C. Mandel. Welcome to Raven Conversation. And today I'm joined by Master Sergeant Brandon Smith. He is the Electromagnetic Spectrum Operations Flight Chief at the 194th Comm Squadron. And that sounds like a whole lot to say, but he is going to explain what he does and what the Comm Squadron is and what he does over there. So appreciate you coming on, Brandon.
Yeah. Thank you.
So intro background on yourself.
Yeah. So I started my career in the Washington State Air National Guard in 1999 with the 242 Combat Comm in Spokane.
You're in Spokane?
Yeah. And since then, I've actually had a pretty diverse career. I've been in, I think, 7 different guard units total. I started in Spokane. At one point, I was over here at Camp Murray around like 2008 timeframe with the 252 group and then the 143rd Combat Communications Squadron. When that changed to cyber, mm-hmm. I moved down to Oregon and was part of the 116th Air Control Squadron. And then from there, got a job with Department of Homeland Security and moved to Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. And I was doing QA for the 113th Fighter Wing, Washington, D.C. Air National Guard. Had some great opportunities there to do some domestic operations activities with like the presidential inauguration and State of the Union and that sort of thing. And then eventually became Radio Shop NCOIC. From there, I got deployed overseas. While I was deployed, I had a job opportunity to move back to Washington State. So I came back and I was with the 116th ASOG for... just, I guess, the last, like, 7 years. It's 5 years, I guess. And then recently, though, I transferred over to the Comm Squadron when I started getting involved with the electronic warfare. So been in Washington State, Washington, D.C., and Oregon as a guardsman.
Kind of something that's always in the communications realm, it sounds like.
Yeah, so I've done microwave, satellite, as well as land mobile radio. But the electronic warfare is something that's new just within the last year and a half.
Yeah. So I always like to ask before we kind of get going into it, how'd you learn about the Guard?
Yeah, so my grandfather was in World War II as a bombardier navigator on the B-25 Mitchell.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so I always looked up to that and had some great conversations with him. You know, I mean, those vets didn't talk about it a lot, but I was always just impressed. He was actually a California guardsman, retired as a major. But I was going to go active duty Air Force. I even had all my paperwork like ready to go. And then I got a scholarship from the Elks Foundation, and I decided to go ahead and use that and go to community college in Spokane. And while I was there, I heard a radio ad about the Washington State Air National Guard, the 141st air refueling wing, and something about like fuel your future. And the radio ad actually got me interested. And in fact, it's kind of funny. I didn't know where to go for the Washington Air National Guard. And so I went to an active duty recruiter station and I told them I wanted to join the Guard. And they're like, no, you want to do active duty? I was like, no, I don't think so. And they're like, okay, fine. And sent me over. And from there, I've had a 25-year career in the Guard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. 23 years in the Guard as well. And I was the same way. I had no knowledge. I'm like, where do I go to learn about the Guard? And I just heard about it one day off chance in a conversation. And they don't actually, there's no playbook to say back then. There was no playbook to be like, oh, here's where you go to learn about the Guard and how to join. Mm-hmm. You were mentioned to me by the 194th PA shop, electromagnetic spectrum operations. That sounds like a lot, and I'm hoping you can kind of break it down. What does that mean?
Yeah, so electromagnetic spectrum operations, or EMSO, is kind of all aspects of spectrum management and use of spectrum in warfare or for just operations. And so there's a couple of different elements. There's the more traditional spectrum management, ensuring that people are not utilizing spectrum that someone already has identified, so you don't create interference. But then it goes on to other things like what's called like signals intelligence or SIGINT. There's communications intelligence. There's RF sensing equipment that can be used. And so there's kind of like a defensive component of EMSO or electronic warfare. And then there's the offensive part as well, where you start talking about using jammers and decoys and other techniques in order to basically make it challenging for the enemy. If you look at what's going on in Ukraine right now and Russia, electronic warfare is one of the main challenges that they're facing on both sides. So the Russians are using jammers in order to prevent the Ukrainians from communicating. They're also doing things like RF geolocation, where they'll identify where someone is at and then use that intelligence to target them or to identify where enemy forces may be. So if you look at all the different domains within warfare, right, you have the air and land and sea and cyber. Well, spectrum is just another domain that you have to contend with.
Yeah. So you mentioned SIGINT, right? So as an Intel officer, and Pete is actually a SIGINTer by trade now in the 341st, when I think of SIGINT intelligence, I think of communications and gathering information via radio signals. You are probably the opposite side of that. You're now trying to jam that signal from somebody getting that information, correct?
It can go both ways. I mean, again, EMSO covers multiple factors. So an EMSO team or electronic warfare squadron or a flight could have different missions. And I think right now, the 194th Wing is still kind of forming what that is going to look like. And even at the higher level within National Guard Bureau and within the DOD, there's a recognition that electronic warfare is something that we have got to get on top of. But they're still formulating what that's going to look like for Army and Air Force, Marine Corps, Navy. So what I would say, though, is that during the global war on terror and for the last, let's say, 20 years, we've actually divested in electronic warfare because the enemy didn't have that capability. Yeah. Well, now we're looking at an adversary that does have that capability. And so they're shifting focus onto that because if we can't communicate because of the impacts of electronic warfare, then we can't maintain operations.
Yeah. So is that like a mission that the 194th Comm Squadron, like, is that just a mission that they already do, or is that something you kind of brought into it? Or
I would say it's something that I brought into it from the perspective of when I was doing work with the 116th, I'm sorry, the 111th, we had tried to do some exercises that focused on MCON, missions control, and I wanted to incorporate direction finding into that. And it was very challenging to find support for that exercise. And so I recognized that if we didn't identify ways to improve our TTPs for electronic warfare, that we would really have a challenge against a near peer adversary. And so what happened was I submitted a white paper. So I submitted this white paper to Colonel Berggren and basically said, you know, I've been doing this for 25 years in radio, and if we don't get this figured out, like, we're going to get our, you know, asses handed to us, basically. And so from there, it just grew. And so the way that I was, once we identified it as a new mission or a new area that the wing wanted to focus on, I was in the process of actually retiring, but then kind of pulled that back. Long story there, but basically I had to find a new home. And so, I was able to, leave the 111th as it was changing into the, CRT, the crisis response team. So, the 194th Comm Squadron became my new home. And within the Comm Squadron, they have what's called the Special Projects Flight. And so the Special Projects Flight didn't have a specific mission at the time, and so we kind of made EMSO the mission of the Special Projects flight. And at the time when we first started, I was a flight of one, which is just me. And so it's grown from there. So now we took the radio shop, which was kind of being underutilized because a lot of our radio comms are managed by Active Duty and JBLM. Right. And so we kind of repurposed that entire flight or that radio shop into this new EMSO flight, and then I became the flight chief.
So for those that, you know, that are listening and they hear you wrote a white paper, I think one thing that's important is a lot of the time when you write a white paper, I've written one myself about public affairs, and you're kind of bringing an expert level knowledge to that commander saying, hey, this is an identified problem, we need to solve it. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you guys took that and now you have said, hey, we're going to stand up this electromagnetic operations cell within the 194th Comm Squadron. How do other guardsmen who are interested in this kind of start reaching out and saying, hey, I really want to be a part of this, or I have a background? How do they kind of come to you and say that?
Yeah, great. So electronic warfare is not anything new. It's been around since World War II, and there are, across the DoD, there are multiple career opportunities for people. But I would say it's new for the 194th Wing. So once Colonel Bergeron agreed to move forward with this electronic warfare concept and add it in as a potential growth opportunity for the wing, we created a charter and stood up what's called the EMSO Task Force. Mm-hmm. So I'm the NCOIC for the EMSO Task Force. Major Roberts, who's our A6, is the OIC. And the task force has grown. We initially started out with, you know, just a handful of people. We now have champions and people all around the world, in fact, that are helping the 194th Wing and the EMSO Task Force grow. And we're learning that even within our own wing, there are people that had this background, they just didn't know how to connect. And so one of the things that we have done is we have like a team site where people can get information, and I put posts on there about new things that are going on, like the Phoenix Dawn exercise, yeah, as an example. But it's been amazing. Like, I mean, I'm talking on a regular basis with people in like Colorado, Washington, D.C., Florida, Germany, Guam, Hawaii, all over the place, who have background that can help, that are trying to help us grow this thing. So what I would say is if anyone within either the Army National Guard or the Air National Guard in Washington State have an interest in this, you know, I'd say come find me, but also our task force is probably the best source of information.
And I always look at at least the 194th Wing as a very similar unit to our 56th Theater Information Operations Group on the Army side. A lot of like-minded missions, and this just sounds like another one of those like-minded missions in the information operation spectrum. Electromagnetic warfare, mm-hmm, is, or electric warfare is part of it. And it sounds like you guys are now jumping in both feet basically into the pond saying, hey, let's go and let's figure out how to make this happen. So
yeah, and what I was going to say is with regards to the Army and the Air Force, National Guard, electronic warfare is by definition joint, because like the spectrum affects everyone. And so one of the things that we had an opportunity to do just in the last couple of weeks is the Phoenix Dawn exercise. Yeah. So I was the lead planner for the what we call Sailor Creek, which is a range outside of Mountain Home Air Force Base. And trying to get inputs from multiple perspectives, we had all different kinds of people there. So we had two Army soldiers from JBLM I Corps that were spectrum managers that came out with us. We had two airmen from the 109th Electronic Warfare Squadron in Hawaii that brought a system called Kraken, which does like a direction finding, angle of arrivals capability. We had three different vendors that were out there that brought all their equipment. We had a representative from STRATCOM who was there. And everybody was out in the field doing these different scenarios. We had drones that we were using, and we had a couple of different drills with drones. We did some direction finding on a GPS jammer. And then our TAC-Ps that were part of the group as well had an opportunity to control two aircraft that came in.
So is this an actual, like, it's AFC, correct? For us, it's MOS.
MOS, yeah.
Yeah. Is that, is it its own, like, job basically in the Air Force?
Yeah, so the AFSC, Air Force Specialty Code, yeah. So there are some specific AFSCs to MSO and electronic warfare. We don't currently have that. So what we're doing is taking the radio AFSCs and like the cyber AFSCs and even the spectrum management AFSCs. There's what's called a E prefix. And so if you take certain classes and you meet certain requirements, you can get this E prefix on top of the AFSC that you have. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the objectives that we have within our flight is for everyone that's part of the MSO task force to get this E prefix by attending courses that are specific to electronic warfare.
Yeah. And I imagine this is just the beginning. You guys probably have a greater vision for the unit and where you want to take this task force. Probably not overly you want to share it at the moment, but anything you want to add kind of to talk about where you want to see it go?
Oh, where would I like to see it go? Well, one thing that I've identified over this last year and a half is that there is certainly a need for MSO and spectrum warfare. In a lot of ways, we are not prepared. And I think I recently saw a video by Major General Klein where they looked at what was going on in Ukraine. And I think the three main things that I took out of that video was that spectrum warfare, electronic warfare, we're not prepared for that as a force. Army, Air Force, Marines, Navy, that drones are pervasive. They're everywhere. And that OPSEC is critically important. And that the training that we're currently getting or the our level of preparedness for that type of fight, we have a lot of work to do. And so I think where I would like to see us go is I would like the 194th Wing and maybe even, you know, 194th Electronic Warfare Squadron in the future to be the premier electronic warfare or MSO squadron to be able to provide capabilities in area defense, spectrum monitoring, spectrum management, but also things like red team training so that we can take what we did in Idaho and then be able to replicate that to other branches even, and be able to help provide training and TTPs for TAC-P, special forces, security forces, other units, so that if they want to train and work in an EMS, an electromagnetic spectrum contested environment, mm-hmm. that we could provide that sort of capability because we have the tools, the training, and the skill sets to be able to do that.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I think the nice part is we live in a state that's very technologically advanced. Mm-hmm. So I think you have a lot of people that are already kind of thinking about, hey, what's that next wave? What's that next thing? So,
and I would say in addition to the Seattle region being a technology hub, and we have a lot of people that are skilled in radio and spectrum, the other advantage to this particular region is that, one, we have the Pacific alignment, but also we have Whidbey Island, mm-hmm. with the Growlers, as well as I-Corps and the MDTF right here at JBLM. So I think one thing that I have learned in this whole process, too, is that electronic warfare and MSO is not something that you can just pick up right out of a tech school. I've been doing radio for 20 years, and you have to have that foundation of how spectrum works and radio and tactical radio before you can really start to understand some of the concepts of like radio direction finding or jamming or decoys. Those are more advanced things. And I think that one thing that the Guard can provide is that we typically have people who stay longer in one area, and they also can bring some of their skill sets from the civilian sector in to help. And like in my case in particular, my full-time job is with CISA, DHS, yeah. And I'm a emergency communications coordinator for the region. So I do a lot of work on emergency communications, interoperability, counter jamming, and planning for large events like NSSE and SEER events, like Super Bowls, inaugurations, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you've hit it all kind of nicely right there, letting us let everyone know why Washington is probably set up really nicely for this. Anything else you want to add?
No, not that I can think of. I mean, we covered quite a few things. I would say just, you know, the next steps for us is we're looking to basically share our lessons learned from the exercise, and then just continuing to get support at the local level, but also at the national level for this concept. Because I've talked to other subject matter experts around the country, and from what I understand, within the Guard, no one is really doing this. This is really a novel thing that we are trying to accomplish here in Washington State. And with the leadership that we have here, I'm confident that we'll get there. I mean, it takes time to make a big mission change like this, but I think that there is support at all levels for something like this.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you sharing that. Yeah. If you're interested in learning more, definitely throw some questions in the comments and we can pass those along. If you like the video, give it a like, subscribe for future videos. And Brandon, I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Truly interesting stuff.
Yeah. Thank you.